others that like to do that. But in 1 John 4 through 9, 4 and 9, not through 9, it tells us, in this was manifested the love of God towards us. Why did God do it? Because, brothers and sisters, He loved us. He loved us. Today's theme is love. Well, I tell you, this is why He sent His Son. Because the love of God towards us, it manifested His love. Love is a thing. Love's not just a feeling. I heard it said one time, I don't know if it's true or not. I saw it somewhere on the internet. I didn't go into actually looking up to see if it was true or not. It said Einstein wrote a letter to his daughter one time and said, of all the things in the universe, that there's one extra thing that everybody fails to mention, scientists, and it's love. Said love is an actual physical thing that is there, that's out there, that can do what nothing else can do. And it has a force that is greater than all other forces. Love. Love is there. Love is something you do. If you love someone, you're going to do something for them. If I tell my wife I love her, but I don't show her through my actions, I don't love her. If I tell God that I love Him, but I don't show it through my actions, I don't love Him. If God says that He loves us, but there was nothing to back it up, He doesn't love us. But brothers and sisters, God loves us, and God has showed it time and time again. And here is why He sent His Son, through love. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. He loved us enough. Loved us enough, He sent His only begotten Son so that we might live. Well, I'm sure you're sitting there today and saying, Brother Rick, I am living. I'm alive. I've got a good life. Got a house. Got a family. Got a car. I live a good life. What do you mean, so that I might live? I am living. I can only imagine when Christ tried to tell and they tried to preach to the Israelites and said, so that you might be made free. And their answer was, we are free. We are free men. We are seeds of Abraham. We are free. And God said, Christ said, no, you're not. You are not free. You are slaves to sin. So they didn't understand. God was coming and sending His Son for salvation of all men. All, everyone that was born. Through His love, He sent Him. Why? Because we weren't free. We're not living. Think about the times. This life is hard. This isn't living. This is not what God intended. God created us in His image, and He gave us a place that was perfect. We messed it up. We weren't meant to have to work hard. It was supposed to be given to us. Think about that. I like to garden. I can't imagine going out there and not even having to plant or anything. Just go pick. I love picking stuff. Not have to weed. Not have to water. Not have to do anything. Just go pick and take of the vine. That's what God had in store for us. This world's not living. We are slaves unto sin. Not only that, we are dead unto sin. We're dead unto sin. So God sent His Son because God loved us and knew that we were dead unto sin and that we needed a way unto Him. He loved us enough that He didn't, throughout all of our stubbornness, throughout all of our wrongdoings, throughout all of our things that we do to Him. Think about that. The stuff that we do, we are doing it to God. Sometimes we lose sight of that. I mean, oh, it's just a little lie. Oh, it's just this. Oh, it's just that. No, you are sinning against God Himself. It's a slap to the face of God. And God still loves you enough that He sends His only Son. He sends His only Son to you. Tells us in Luke 19, verse 10, continues on why He came. And this will be the words of Christ Himself telling you why He came. We now know He came because God loved us, but also Christ is going to tell us why He came. Christ says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So God sent his son out of love, great love for us, and for one purpose, to seek and to save that which was lost. See, brothers and sisters, we were all lost. If you saved today, you are no longer lost. You have been found, your soul has been quickened, your spirit has been awakened, and you live for the first time ever. If you have not, then you're still in that place where we all were. You're not alive. You're missing out on the glories that God has waiting for you. You might say, I'm alive. I'm breathing. I can talk. I can go do stuff. I'm living. Brothers and sisters, that's not living. That's not living. The body is more than flesh. We were made in the image of God, flesh and spirit. We have the Spirit of God, and it was dead to our sins. And God has sent his Son that he might save that which was lost. What was lost? My spiritual life. It was lost. When Adam sinned, and Adam and Eve sinned, sin came into the world, and our spiritual side was lost. That side that could be with God, for God is spirit, was gone. We needed a way to save it. I can't do it. Can't do it. Never could. You can't do it. No one ever could. President can't do it. Pope can't do it. Brother Mike can't do it. But God could. And God did, because he loved us. He loved us. In John chapter 6, 38 through 40, we continue on. One more verse. Again, I like to really connect my thoughts with verses. For this is the truth. This is true wisdom. Comes from God. John chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus again says, for I came down from heaven. Remember that. Jesus came down. He lowered himself. I've already said that once, but he's lowered himself. Out of love. Out of love for you and for me, he lowered himself out of glory to come down here with us. That'd be like me leaving my house and going living amongst the homeless, amongst the dregs of society, amongst the lowest of low in the poorest of situations, giving up everything I have to go help out people. That's what God did. He loved us that much. He gave up the greatest in order to come with us. He came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will. What is the will? This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. Praise be unto God. He will lose nothing, but will raise up. What is talking about? All that he's given me. Is that possessions? Is that earthly things? No. Those are the souls. That's the salvation that's going to be won through him. That's you and me, brothers. That's you and me, sisters. That's us. Verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Praise be to God. That's what we're here for today. Because God loved us that much, he sent his Son, that if we will just believe on him. And brothers, again, believing is an action. It requires work. Just as love requires work. It's an action. There must be a show. If I believe on God, and I believe he is who he is, then I'm going to live that way. Merely saying, I believe that he was the Son of God, is not enough. Words don't make actions. Words do not make belief. Words don't make love. Actions produce love. Actions through belief. But if we will believe, then we can have everlasting life. we once again, our soul can be quickeneth, as it says in Romans, that the soul is dead and Jesus comes to quickeneth the spirit. That means to make alive the spirit, to bring it back to life, to breathe life into it. As he did in this body, the flesh of mine, he breathed life and put his spirit in me. And the spirit is now awakened through Jesus Christ. And it says, I will raise him up in the last days. That's what we believe. That's not what we hope for, but it's what we fervently are persuaded and believe in. That one day, Christ will bring us back with him and we will receive a body. Just the same as Christ was rose from the dead, the same for us. Rise again and we will have a body and we'll be one with him. I said, looking at love, and we've seen God's love everywhere. God's love is great. John 15:13 tells us, we turn to there, Christ tells us, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Talk about actions. There's some true love. That's tough. You face death. When you've literally faced death and you stare it in the eyes, it's a tough thing. It's difficult. I promise you, I've been there. I thought my time was up. Lots of things run through your mind. Now, there are some things that I'd give my life for. There are things people have given their life for. We know that. We've seen how life is. For those that I love, I'd give my life for. I'd take a bullet for my family, any one of them. I'd give my life and trade for theirs any day. But that's tough when we start looking at those we don't like. There's some people I'd say, I don't know. They've done wrong in the past. Why am I going to give my life up for them? I won't give them. Well, I'm glad God's not that way. Christ wasn't that way. Greater love hath no man than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, that tells us, first off, Christ considers us his friends. Christ has love for us enough that he laid down his life for us, even before we knew him. In Romans 5, chapter 8, and this actually, Brother Jim covered this today in Sunday school. I didn't really look at the Sunday school lesson in advance to know it was in there, but it says, God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do we know what that means, brothers and sisters? While we were sinners, while we were against God, while I was out living my life how I wanted to live, doing the things that God had said not to do, whether it was through ignorance or whether it was through pure intention that I was sinning, that you were sinning, that the world was sinning, that the world was evil, mocking. We look now, we see people mock Christians. Guess what? That's what we were doing one day. We were mocking God. We don't need you, God. I'm going to live on my own. While I was against God, he loved me so much that he sent his son to this world that he might die for us. Remember that. I've said it before, boy, I'm so glad that I'm not the one that has to be the judge. I wouldn't be able to do it. As a man, I can't. It's hard for me to forgive. And even if I forgive, well, I don't forget. But God forgives. God loves. Think about how you love your children. I tell my girls, there's nothing you can do that can take my love from you. That makes me mad sometimes. But there's nothing they could do. That's how it is with God, but even greater, because God's love is more complete and greater than ours could ever be. He loves us. Even after time and time again, we turned against him. Time and time again, we did what we weren't supposed to do. We mocked him. We slapped him. When Christ was there in the Sanhedrin, when he went before Pontius Pilate, he was being whipped, tied to that stake and whipped, and to where they said you couldn't tell if it was male or female anymore, and he hung on that cross. The soldiers mocked him, they spat on him, they slapped him, they hit him, all that he went through. I was doing that. He did that because of me, because I deserved that. You might say, Brother Rick, I've never seen Jesus. I did not do that. Yes, brothers, every time we sinned, that's what we did. We separated ourselves from God. We were no better than those that stand today and mock God and do stuff when we didn't know Him. But God, through His love, sent His Son for us. Through His love towards us, that while we were sinners, Christ still died for us. Christ died for us. It tells us, let me see, there was something in here I was wanting to read. It says, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We didn't have strength. Romans, Paul writes that. We had no strength. That's the same as when we were dead. We had no strength. Our soul had no strength. Our soul was not living. God came to give us life. And it says in Romans 3, verse 23 through 25, Alex, I'm sorry I don't have this one on there, so you just have to go with it. Chapter 3, verse 23 through 25 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you say you're not a sinner, you make God a liar. If you say that you never were a sinner and you didn't need God, you make God a liar. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. What that's saying is, we're all guilty. And all that we can do, there's nothing we can do. The law can't make us perfect. We can't live as some of these stars will tell you that you're a good person. If as long as you're a good person, then you'll get into heaven. No. For all of our good works are but filthy rags before a just and holy God. Not one is righteous, no, not one except for God. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. If we could do it on our own, we'd have no need of God. Then where would God's grace be? If it was on something I did, God's grace is what makes us right. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, His love. That is it. The gift that was given. That is it. I don't know if you've ever seen that verse there, propitiation. Propitiation means that He took our place. Propitiation is to pay for something, for someone else. A propitiation. Christ was the propitiation of our debt. And if you've ever read the Bible, and something like I said, I told someone I started trying to look into Greek and trying to learn some. I'm not very good at all. I can at least see the sounds of the letters now. But I would love to know Greek, because Greek was a language unlike any other language. And at the time of Christ, the Greek Empire had greatly expanded to where all economic activity was done in Greek. The language was known throughout the known modern world at the time. It's what all of the New Testament was written in. And Greek had a way of taking words, and they took pride in that one word could have a huge meaning. That in the simplistic aspect of one word, you can have a huge meaning. And when Christ was on that cross, and Christ said, "It is finished." Well, what was finished? In Greek, that word would be tetelestai. In Greek, means that it was finished. Something that was started was finished. The object of what you came to do was finished. And then more importantly, it was used as a term to describe the payment has been paid. And the Greek translation of that, which would have been understood by them, was there was a payment that had to be paid. What He came here for, the whole purpose of His coming to earth, was paid on that cross. The payment was paid. And also, not just that, it's a present tense used in the Greek, which means not just that it was paid, but what had been done and will last throughout the present and throughout the future. It's hard for us to get the true grasp of what was written there for Jesus saying, "It is finished," on the cross. He does not say, "I'm finished." He said, "It is finished." What is finished? The will of the Father. What was the will of the Father? To send His Son, because He loved you and me, that He might come and take your place so that you might live, so that you could have eternal salvation. Oh, from humble beginnings, poor Mary and Joseph, the poor carpenter, couldn't find a room, laid him in the manger. That humble beginnings, that was the Son of God. And that Son of God came for one purpose, and that was for your salvation and for my salvation. That was it. That was it. That is the true gift of Christmas. That is why we celebrate. I know we get so caught up now, but let's not forget, the only thing that's important, you can take away all these gifts that we give to each other. You can take away everything that we have. But if you have the gift of God, which is His Son, Jesus Christ, you have the greatest gift that was ever given. You've won everything. You have greater than anything in this world. You have eternal salvation and glory. You are alive again. You're out of bondage. You're alive. I look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 6. We're getting close to being done here in just a minute. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 6, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Do you hear that, brothers and sisters? He hath quickened us. That means made us alive again with Christ. We believe wholeheartedly that Christ was raised again from the dead and sits at the right hand of God. And brothers and sisters, just the same as God the Father did to the Son, He is going to do to all of His followers, all of those. We were dead in sins. He has brought us back to life, and we, together with Christ, will live again forever. Oh, the hope that is in that. That is our hope. We are persuaded. It says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We're accepted in Him. Praise be to God. We're accepted into Him through Christ Jesus, that one that was sent all those years ago. In John chapter 10, verse 28, we get to our last two verses. John chapter 10, verse 28 says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." And here's my favorite part. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." See, Christ came, and all that choose Him, all that come unto Him, are His. They will be saved, and no man, nothing, no power on high or in low shall pluck them out of His hand. That's the God we serve. The God that has given us salvation and guaranteed it unto us if we make Him our God. As I end here today, if Danny will get a song ready for us, I leave you with Romans chapter 8. Verse 38 and 39. Like I said, my job is to give the word. God's job is to do the saving. Your job is to respond. And there has to be response. You either accept it or you don't. Saying "I'll decide later" is deciding that you don't. Romans 8, chapter 38 through 39, Paul writes, "For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I said, we started today with Eden, lighting the candle, the love candle. Love is a great thing. I've told you what God did for you out of love. He sent His Son out of love. He came here, His Son came here, and out of love gave His life for you. Out of love, he came to do the one thing he was supposed to. He loved God the Father so much, and he loved you that he obeyed God the Father, and he gave himself for you and for me that we might be with him. And as Paul writes, I am persuaded. Persuaded means I, beyond a shadow of a doubt, am convinced and put all of my stock and everything I have into that God the Father has saved us. As I'm persuaded, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing. You say, but brothers, I've done some bad things, Brother Rick. I don't know. God's love will take care of it. Nothing can separate you from Christ if you accept him. So as we stand today, as Brother Danny gets the song ready, I ask, are you persuaded today? Are you persuaded that God sent his son for you, that his son Jesus Christ gave his life for you to quickeneth your spirit, to make you alive again, that one day you'll be in glory with him? Are you persuaded that nothing can separate you from God's love? If you are not, sisters, today is the day. Here's the altar. It's about time to use these altars. These aren't just to look at. The altars of God are to fall on our face and worship God and to him. If you're not today persuaded, if you don't know where you'll be, today's the day. And remember, not choosing is the same as choosing no to God. Brother Danny. Thank you for your time and attention today. I said, these are God's words. These aren't mine. It tells of his love. Never forget, we serve a loving God, a righteous and loving God. Don't keep out the righteous part also, though. Just because he's loved does not mean that he's going to put up with us doing wrong forever. Out of his love, he makes sure that he tries to correct us, so that we are not lost. So we're not lost to sin and to damnation. I thank you for your time. I pray today that if you don't know God, if you are not persuaded that he is the way, that he truly does love you, that his son was sent for you, I pray today that a burden be placed upon your heart where you start to come to the truth. And if anything has kept you from God, that today you give that up. We live for him. I thank you for your time and attention. Are there any prayer requests or words of praise before we dismiss? Amen. Amen. Love you, sister. I know you've gone through a rough time. God see you through it. Amen. Amen. Remember to keep hearing your prayers. Anything else? Amen. Praise be to God. He deserves it. We love him because he first loved us. Oh, Brother Bertal, you still want to do your song? Okay. If do what? Hey, we would love to hear it. Any of you girls, we sing Feliz Navidad? I can try. I know the Feliz Navidad part. Any kids want to come help? Come on, girls. Abby, you're still a girl. Compared to us, you're still a young kid.
If you listen to radio anytime now, Feliz Navidad is all over.
Mm-hmm.
Why not have it here to the glory of God at Sandy Point Church?
Amen.
Right. You're welcome to join us as we do this popular song that's going worldwide for many years. Amen. Merry Christmas. I said I knew a couple of the words. He has. I said I tell him that. I've told him before, I don't always know what he's saying when he sings sometimes, but I can tell he is singing from the heart. And most importantly, God knows exactly what he's saying and knows where it comes from. And that's all that matters. You can see a godly man. Brother Roberto, I think the world of you. If there is nothing else, echo what Brother Roberto said. Merry Christmas. Let's not forget that time. Merry Christmas. That's right. What he did for us. That's why we're here. We come to worship. If there is nothing else, I'm going to ask my dad if he'll dismiss us today.